the motherly love of God our Father. Now, I want to make it clear that God is not a mother, okay? But if we understand the Bible, it will show that God also demonstrates motherly love, but he is not a mother, absolutely not, okay? And the Holy Spirit is not also a mother. The Holy Spirit is a he, okay? Don't be mistaken with that. But every human father, if you have an understanding about who the mother is in with the children, sometimes we see fathers also demonstrating the heart of the ministry of a mother to their children. In the Philippines, they call themselves tanay. Tanay. Sometimes they do it because of necessity, and then they'll just be doing it that's supposed to be the work of the mother. Like when my children were small, young, especially Hannah, we have a maid, but usually it's me who's taking care of her, and I feed her in the morning because she doesn't want to eat, and her legs are just like this. So I feed her. And when she was already in elementary grade one, I think, and kinder, that's the problem. In the morning, she doesn't want to eat. She eats, but you'll have to wait. Sometimes if you don't push her, she will be late in school. So I had to feed her. Louisa cannot do that because she's working. I was a pastor, but I have my own time going to the church. So it's like that. The things that we do to our children, men, which is demonstrating a motherly love to our children. In Psalms 91:4, let's read it. Ready? Begin. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Talking about bird, talking about fowl, probably chicken. So he covers you with his wings. I usually watch hen, mother chicken, fighting crow. You know crow? Uwak. Because the crow tries to snatch the chick, one of her chicks, and he fights the crow until the crow gets into a corner where she cannot fly anymore. So that's how a mother hen become very very matapang, very brave. They become very brave for their children, for their chicks. And in John 16:13, let's read it. Ready, begin. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the truth. So in the Psalms 91:4, it says that his truth shall be your shield and buckler. And through the Spirit, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he will speak that into our hearts. And he will tell us things to come. A hen covers her young chicks under her wings to protect, hide, and shelter them. That's what the Holy Spirit do with us. He reveals the truth to us. He reveals the love of the Father to every one of us. In Matthew 19:13-14, let's read it. Ready, begin. Then little children were brought to him, Jesus, that he might put his hands on them and pray. But his disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. The question probably there is, why did Jesus say that the kingdom of heaven the little children is for the kingdom of heaven. And this is the reason why. Let's see the qualities of a child. When a child hurt himself, he stumbled. What do you call it? Nadapa. He tripped and hurt himself. What is the first thing he will say, he will do? Cry, but say something. Mama! He will not say Papa. Unless there is no mama there. But usually it's the mama. Do you know why? Because it's the mama that had the tender love when he was growing up as a babe from babyhood. It's always the mama that was there, feeding her from something. And one of the qualities also of a child is when they cry because somebody took their toy or hurt them amongst themselves, all babies, they don't hold grudges. Remember that? Did you notice that? That after they quarrel, later on, what do they do again? They play again. That's the quality of a child. That's why Jesus said that the little children they are qualified to go to heaven because of that. It demonstrates the attitude of that can forgive easily and forget and play again. It's not when you're an adult. It's hard. It's hard. They believed on stories by their parents to them. It's like a movie to them when you tell stories. With Ezra, when I remember, I always have one story because I cannot memorize every story. The monkey and the turtle. Every night before she sleeps, I must tell that story. So what I did was different scenes of monkey and the turtle. Sometimes the monkey throw the turtle and up to the moon. And the turtle was crying, how can I get down from the moon? So I have to invent all stories. And sometimes the monkey throw him onto the mountain. And how can the turtle go down? He was crying and crying. And you see her lips. And always the turtle was the poor boy in that story. But one day I changed the story. It was the turtle who bit the monkey on the ears. And he was saying, yeah. He was happy. Why do they believe your story? Because you are their dad, you are their mother. Louisa doesn't do that. It's me, the story. So with Hannah. But Hannah is more critical when it comes to story. She doesn't like stories of poor people. She hates. Don't you ever tell about how poor you were? She doesn't like to hear that. Their parents are always the best to them. Not until they grow up. When they grow up, it's no longer them. It's no longer the parents because they see the defects of the parents. But when you are a child, your father, your mother is always the best to you. The role of mothers in the early stages of their children speaks a lot of who their children will be as they grow up. Your role is very important. Same as the role of the Holy Spirit as comforter as we grow in maturity into the Lord. Do you also do this when you? So that's why if you borrow somebody else's notes, don't do that because somebody did that already. The only difference between the two, the Holy Spirit is always patient, unlike mothers. Sometimes, yes, they may be patient, but many times, no, especially when they are tired and sick. The role of mother to his kids is a conduit to the love of the Alpha Father to them, for them, feeding them, guiding them, teaching them, and each other. And with the case of me and Louisa, I did some of the role of a mother to my children. In Matthew 25, let's go deeper. 35 to 40. Let's read it. Ready? Begin. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick in prison or come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you do it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Anything we do to our brother, you just didn't do it for him. You did it for God. That's what he was saying. Remember this, we're talking about mothers here. The tender love of God, the Father, should be enjoyed by your children through you, mothers. Of course, with us also, fathers. We are an extension of his motherly love. The love of the Father to your children. The Sunday school teachers, for example, you are ministering to the children. And whether you like it or not, you are an extension of the Father's motherly tender love to those children. To the women teaching in schools, don't just think that what you're doing is a job, but it is a ministry extending the Father's motherly love to the students. Don't you ever underestimate your ministry to the children as mom, Sunday school teacher, or a secular school teacher. You are an extension of God's motherly love. When Jesus was on the cross and his mother was there, Jesus said to John, behold your mother. Let's read it in John 19. Ready? Begin. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her on his own. Mary was there when he was hanging on the cross. John was there and two other Marys. You see, it's hard looking at your son hanging there. But Jesus understood what's going to happen later on. Her mom needs somebody to take care of her. She's an old woman already. So what insight can we glean here? I believe that is not the first time Mary and John met. They know each other. They're close to each other. They have established relationship already with each other. That's why Jesus understands. And he can tell John, please take care of your mom. You see, Mary treated John as his own son. That's why Jesus knows that. And likewise, John treated Mary as his own mother. Have you ever had some people in your life that you could say you felt a motherly love on them? I have few. They're so special to me, I can't even forget them. One was a pastor. She laughs at my jokes. She throws pillow on me when we are having meetings because of my jokes. And she would love to hear me when I preach, even if I don't supposed to be English congregation in the Philippines. We have three services, two English and one in our language. And they put me sometimes on the English service, which I cannot really speak well. And she still loved to listen, and she loves, and she cares. She was the one who pushed me to become a pastor of the church because I was just one of those drivers there, ministry driver. I just felt her love. There are people that come into our life, and we should treasure that. And that's the expression of God that we could feel to people that have that heart of a mother. In the church, any mother can be an extension of God's motherly love to anyone, including adults. You can share your love. The ministry in the kitchen, for example, those ladies there serving food, those that are keen of listening, especially the pain, the stories of pain from the brethren. I had not felt such motherly love more, not much, but I felt for some. But there are two women in my life that I really felt that motherly love. At first, I didn't realize that, I came to realize. Louisa is not just a wife to me. She was a mother. I'll tell you why. With my mom, because we were very poor, so that I can compare the two of them, how they made me who I am now. My mom's rule was I have to take a shower at least 3 times a week. The reason is because the well is so far from our house, and they have to get the water, because I was a kid, they have to be the one taking water from there. And then if it's in the morning, they have to heat it on this wood, how do you call it? Yung kalan namin puro na sinisindihan ng kahoy. How do you call that? Wood stove. You use. Especially in the morning, when it's raining, it's hard to kindle that. And so, that's why the rule was 3 times a week, I take shower. It was good. But sometimes, when I pretend to be sick, I only have 2 showers. Because it's really hard to take a shower. Our house was made of nipa and air coming in. There is nothing. I don't know. If you're a Filipino, you can imagine that if you see that one, it's like there's nothing you can be proud of. So and my mother had this experience that I had this experience with her. That because of poverty, buying meat is just a luxury. Because they cannot afford. Sometimes we can have it on a Wednesday, which is the time of market. What's that? Dapon? Market day, which is a market day in our barrio, in our small barangay, small. Not town. We live in the remote place. Village, small village. So she can afford to buy a little meat, beef, and he puts a lot of soup in that. And because you're so hungry, I don't know if I can still eat now. And the secret of my mom is she puts the secret MSG. MSG. It makes the taste so nice. And so when we are eating, I want some more. And she knows that. And even that which is already on her bowl, she would even give to me. What a mother. There was even one time she promised me, I'll get some of the savings of your dad. So our house has the nipa hut is tied on this bamboo But my dad would put a hole and put those coins inside there. So when every morning my dad would, and he knows more or less where is that coins. But I don't know, my mom would probably put a hole from that point. So she said, I'm going to play Paris. It's a card game. And if I win, don't tell your dad that I get some money there. If then I win, I'll buy you Royal True Orange. I was so happy with that. Because I only drink Royal True Orange when I get when I'm sick. They heat it, probably because they think it's a vitamin C. And she's true to her word. When she wins, the Royal True Orange is this big, is in a bottle. And I would sip it and love it. I don't know if she put it back, the money. I know. She made the hole because I saw her with rugs. She inserted the rugs probably to control the coins from falling down. Funny, Mom. So and many more. When I was already born again then, I met Louisa. And one day we were in a retreat. That's when I first realized I needed that. So because when I go into the, when I take a bath, I would use my t-shirt to wipe. I didn't, because I grew up without towel. I don't know about towel. And then she said, oh, you can use my towel. Oh, I love it. I love the smell of the towel. So I started to save up and buy a towel. And then I saw her having toothbrush 3 times a day. Because with my mom, I didn't have a toothbrush. We used this, what's this? A branch of guava. You take a branch of guava and just make it soft on the end. And that's what you do for brushing your teeth. Because buying a toothbrush, that's even luxury for us. I don't know, with my family, with my mother and father. Because that's what they do too, so I inherited that from them. So when I saw her brushing her teeth 3 times a day, I've learned it from her. I did that too. And then I saw her when she works, when we were already working together in an accounting. I saw her work well. I mean, she doesn't like working, not giving your best. She was a good worker. And I'm not. So I learned that from her. She taught me how to wash dishes properly. Up to now, she's teaching me. She looks at it and there are some, I don't know. I thought I washed it already. And then there's coffee there on the side. There's learning is nonstop. That's what she's doing up to now to me. Sometimes I already put on my clothes. She'll say, change your clothes, Dad. She was the one who prepared this. If I was the one who chose, I will not wear this because it's up to here. I don't want to tuck in. But she prepared it. She prepared it for me because she wants me to look more handsome. She taught me how to be punctual, speaking in a low voice if necessary, because I always have high pitch, keeping the house clean. Don't you ever come to the house without telling her, because she will be, what do you call it? Stressed. One day, Pastor Andrew said, can we have the meeting in your place, Dad? 4 of us. Oh, when I told her, we are going to have a meeting in now, she cannot sleep anymore. So I had to cancel the, can we have it in your house, Pastor Andrew? I said, oh yeah, we can have it there. But of course, I told them the reason why later on. That's my wife. Me? It doesn't matter. Just tell me, when is that? You come. But I'm learning a lot from that. Not to be judgmental, especially. She really hates when I say something to somebody and she thinks I'm judging. But always the Holy Spirit himself backs her up when it's like that, because we sometimes argue. I'm telling her, that's not judgmental, you're the one judging me. But later on, when I'm by myself, the Holy Spirit will box her up. In my heart, I really judge, and I have to repent. So I can conclude that having a godly wife is such a blessing, because you also have Abba Father expressing his motherly love through her on you. That is, if she's godly. She's not. Pray that she could be. So, happy Mother's Day to the godly wives here today. Just a reminder, please pray first before saying something true about us, husbands, because truth can set us free, but it will make us miserable first. It's hard to realize you are judgmental. It's hard to realize things that, you know, you didn't expect that happening. That's happening. So please, pray first before you say something. Husbands, if it seems that your wife is similar to my wife, you can say to her in her ears, I am blessed for having you as my wife and sometimes as a mother. You can say that. Don't be ashamed. But if it's not, then don't say anything. Say anything. Can I call the mothers to stand up, please? Mothers, stand up. I know how hard it is to have a ministry of a mother, but it's also joyful to see your children grow and to see them especially loving God or going to school, finishing their studies. But I also know how hard it is to have them, especially when they're teenagers. It's really hard. I know it. I've been there. But you know, guys, you are blessed because we have an Abba Father who extends his love through you to your children, to the people that you met on your way as you walk on this earth. So I just want to bless you guys with a prayer. Lord, I pray for all the mothers that are here today. Bless their hearts. And also the fathers who has that heart of a mother for the children. Bless our hearts. God, you are a good God to the people that you brought to us, Lord. God, I pray, let these mothers, Lord, see you as the anchor, Lord, of their motherhood. I speak blessing to each one of them. Let their heart be filled with joy as they continue to become good mothers, Lord, to their children. That in the name of Jesus, you will manifest your power through them in rearing up their children. And even the people that they work, the children that they work with, and the people that they work with also, Father God. Thank you for that motherly love you put into our hearts. We bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.